Everybody, we are sure glad you're here today. I want to say that those of us who were able to go eat at Cracker Barrel yesterday morning, bright and early at 7 o'clock with the Inertia Men's Ministry, we had a tremendous time together. And if you are a man of this church and you did not receive an email or a text message, one or the other reminding you about that luncheon or that breakfast, excuse me, if you'll go see Tyler Wheat, let him know that you did not receive that and we will do better. So we would love to have more and more of our men getting together and just being guys and sharing our faith and our love for the Lord and for each other, challenging one another to be men and grow stronger. So make sure you do that. When I was in Honduras, probably somewhere around 2001, I was overseeing several teenagers down there, and it's a lot of pressure. You want to keep people safe, and so I was feeling some of that pressure. We were staying at the Baxter Institute. It's kind of a preaching compound in the main city of Tegucigalpa. Big spikes on the fence, armed guard to keep us safe. A lot of things going on. I can remember that we were trying to get to a meeting, and I was trying to encourage some of the students that I was working with to pick up the pace a little bit. As you know, sometimes it's hard for us to get going, especially when we're younger, especially when somebody is telling us to get going. So I'm trying to get them to get going, and there's one young man who's in my youth group who has a lot of personality, and there's another young man who wasn't in my youth group, but they had become great buddies, and I'm telling them, hey, we have got to go. We have got to go. We're going to be late, and you do not want to be late for the bus because you will be bored if you are late, and none of that is working. I'm putting on my sternest face, and you need to realize that at 24 years old, I looked 17, okay? When I moved here, some of you were here when I moved here, and I looked like a teenager. Don't let this manly beard fool you. Back then, I looked like a babe in Christ, okay? So I'm telling them what to do. I'm trying to put on my sternest face, and they're just laughing at me. And I'm getting more and more angry, and I'm like, dude, I'm your youth minister. You've got to listen to me. I'm thinking all this in my head. And the other guy, I'm like, he probably just thinks I'm another another student on this mission trip. I got so angry that I pointed my finger at both of them and said, do you know who I am? Thank you. Dumbest thing ever, right? That if somebody isn't motivated by what you're saying, saying to them, do you know who I am, is not going to provide any more motivation to them. It's going to reduce the motivation. And I think the problem was not that they did not know who I was. I think the problem was more that in that situation, I had forgotten who I was. I had forgotten who I was. Over the course of the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at God's statement from Exodus chapter 3 of I am who I am. And then we're going to take some looks at Jesus' seven I am statements. And we're going to look at those in hopes of discovering both more of who God is and getting a clearer picture of who we are in Christ. Because I believe that until we know who God is, we are not going to be able to figure out who we are. There are a lot of people in this world who are going to try to tell us who we are, and they're going to have messed up views. Because until they know who God is, they can't know who they are. And until they know who they are, they can't really speak into who we are, no matter how hard that they try. So I think that one thing that will be helpful for us as we get into this journey is I want us to take a quick look at Moses in front of the burning bush. All right, so we're going to get into Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 5 through 17 fairly quickly. And then we'll get into a couple of questions that Moses is asking and how they reflect on the questions that we ourselves ask. So this is Exodus chapter 3, verses 5 through 17. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I'll be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God on this mountain. So Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go to the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you, and I have seen what's done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt. There are two things that I want you to notice deeply from this story. Number one is the very first question that Moses asks of God as he stands before this burning bush. And it's this. Who am I that I should go? He's asking God the right question. God, you're telling me to do this, but in order for me to do this, I need you to answer one question. Who am I? If you remember, by this part of Moses' story, he's been a prince of Egypt, and now he is a watcher of sheep in a community that's not his own. He's been totally displaced. He went from being number one starter on the team to basically riding the bench on a team that he never expected to be on. And so when God calls him to this great mission, Moses realizes, I've lost everything that I thought I was. And you're calling me to do this great thing and participate with you. And the truth is, I don't know who I am. And I think that's one of the major questions that many of us ask today. During every trial that we face, every major change that occurs in our lives forces us to ask that question again and again, over and over. Who am I as a father? Who am I as a manager of this business? Who am I as a retiree? Who am I now that I can no longer play sports? Who am I now that I've been displaced? Who am I that you would ask me to go? And I said that the world will mess up when they try to tell you who you are. I want you to think about this. Do you know that you've never actually seen your face? Have you ever thought about that? You've never actually seen your face. You've seen pictures of your face. You've seen reflections of your face in a mirror. But the only people who actually see you are the people that are not you. You guys see my face. I see maybe the tip of my nose, depending on how much I've lied, right? And we have this tendency to always see ourselves through the eyes of other people. And the problem is that when they see you according to their own life context. So they never see you as you truly are. So in order to really be able to see ourselves as we truly are, we have to see ourselves through the eyes of someone who never changes. And God is He who will never change. He who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the only truth that we can look at who will be completely true when asking the question of ourselves, who am I? And Moses asks God another question. He says, God, when I go back to Egypt, who am I going to say that you are? In other words, God, who are you? Who am I, God? And who are you? And God gives Moses a gift that we don't realize He gives him, because we read Scripture as it's interpreted instead of words as they actually came out. When God tells Moses, I am who I am, He's actually telling Moses his personal name. It's YHWH. We sometimes say Yahweh. We've taken another word, Adonai, and combined it with these four Hebrew letters, because the Hebrew alphabet didn't really have vowel systems. And we've combined these two words together. Adonai means the Lord. And taken this and made the word Yahweh out of it. But God is giving Moses his personal name. And so we read this about a little over 6,000 times in Scripture. And we read it as Lord. And Lord has become so impersonal to us. You know, even when we pray, Heavenly Father, it's not as personal as saying, John, I need to talk to you. Paul, I'm glad that you're listening to me today. Jessica, it's really important that we sit down together. God has given Moses and his people his real name. And his people are so afraid of taking his name in vain that throughout history they refuse to even speak it. It's respectful, and at the same time, it is a little bit depersonalizing. So when Moses hears from God, I am who I am, he's saying, tell them my name. And it can mean, I am who I am. Or if you look in your footnotes, it can mean, I will be who I will be. Or in other words, when you go to them, you tell them, I am everything that they will need. I am He who is enough to sustain you under any circumstance. So you're afraid to go to Egypt, and you're afraid to stand before a Pharaoh because you've forgotten who you are. And even though you've forgotten who you are, knowing who I am is going to be enough to make you who I've created you to be. And this is something that we have to remember as children of God as we live our lives, because who God is enough for us to be who we have been created to be. And that's why I think it's important that we explore over the next couple of weeks the identity of God. You know, that's something unique about Christianity, that we have the ability to have a personal relationship with our God. He's a personal God who wants us to know Him in personal ways, because knowing who God is has everything to do with understanding who we are. I think about Peter. As Jesus is walking across the water, and he looks out, Peter looks out across the ship's bow, and he sees Jesus doing that, and all the disciples are afraid, and Peter says, God, you know, Jesus, if it is you, then call me out onto the waves. And those of you who are familiar with this story are familiar with the fact that Peter does pretty well at first. Right? Peter does pretty well at first. I can remember as a child, there was this movie that I liked, and it was called Remo Williams. And Remo Williams was a story about a regular dude who gets picked up by this Asian martial arts master to accomplish some kind of incredible feat. And there's one point in the movie where the master just takes off running, and he runs across a lake. And he gets back and he gets up to Remo and he goes, Remo, to do that, you must run very fast. So I tried, y'all. I tried. I ran across countless pools. I didn't run across any pools. I ran into and sunk down into countless pools trying to see if I could run just fast enough to run across the water. And it's not possible. I've already done the test for you guys. It's not possible. For Peter, it was, because for a moment, Peter saw himself through the eyes of Jesus. And the eyes of Jesus are the very eyes of God. Because as Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us, that Jesus is the exact representation of His being. So if we want to know God, all we have to do is know Jesus. And in knowing Jesus, we can know ourselves. And if you or I are going to get through troubled times, we need to resolve to know Jesus. Because in knowing Him, we can know ourselves. So if you do not yet know Jesus, or if you're getting to know Jesus and you think you're ready to make a commitment to Him, by putting Him on in the waters of baptism and having your sins washed away, we're going to sing a song and invite you to do that. If you're in a place of trouble and you've forgotten who God is, that He is enough to make you all that He created you to be, we invite you to come as together we stand and we sing.